Welcome to the Cult TV Club. Tonight we've been watching Season 11, Episode 1 of Doctor Who. So this is the first time we've actually watched it. Here are my fellow cultists in the Cult TV Club. We have Gypsy.
Hey.
Angus.
Hello.
And Lisa.
Hey.
Alex.
Hey.
And Jeanette.
Hi.
I guess this has been waiting a fair while for this. What did people sort of expect when, you know, you heard that there was a change in showrunner, also there was a change in the main actor for the Doctor? So what did people think?
I think at the very least a change is a good thing, just because so many episodes that Moffat's been doing recently have been just so grindingly slow and not fun. So, like, a change would be good there. So even if it turned out to be average, like, change is nice, thank you.
Yes, could not agree more. I think I was more excited about the change in showrunner than the change in Doctor. I really liked Capaldi, but I really did not enjoy, I think, I don't know if it was the writing or the story or the, I think he was a little bit wasted the last season at least. So I was very excited. And I'm also recently become a big fan of Broadchurch, and I've heard a lot of the showrunner, Chibnall.
Yes. Chibnall's
from Broadchurch, Jodie Whittaker's from Broadchurch.
And it looks like it starts from Broadchurch too. It's very much like, for the first 5 minutes, I was like, did we record the wrong program?
Yes.
I was actually really attached to Moffat's writing. I liked his style of writing. I liked, and there was definitely some misfires, but overall. But I do feel that Moffat probably had done his time.
Yes.
I think it was because as a writer, you can only remain fresh for so long, and then you start to regurgitate the same ideas. And I feel that Moffat was hitting that where he was burning out with it.
Absolutely.
And he had done.
The big problem that I encountered was, it wasn't with the change of showrunner, it was who they changed it to. As someone who didn't see Broadchurch and had purely known Chibnall through his previous episodes of Doctor Who, they were all very mediocre at best, dull and uninteresting at worst. I think 42, the first one he wrote for Doctor Who, is the most forgettable episode in my mind out of, like, old Who or new Who. It was
the most forgettable. How come you remember it?
Because, like, people keep on mentioning it to me, going, he wrote this episode, and I'm like, what is that episode?
So hang on, so I'm assuming it was a writer for Doctor Who, but I didn't know what. So which one's 42? I'm trying to remember.
It's the one where it's like
Tennant.
Yeah, it's a Tennant with Martha, and on the ship where they have to go. I forget the details.
Collecting fuel from the nearby sun, but the sun is alive and inhabiting people.
Oh, that's one, yeah.
The temperature on the ship is slowly building, and more crew are being killed out, and they've got 50 minutes or something like that to solve the situation.
The episode went for 42 minutes.
So this was the countdown.
The countdown.
And he also wrote Dinosaurs on a Spaceship,
which
is funny. I didn't dislike that one. And Power of Three, which I thought started out really well, but the ending sort of fell down. He also wrote it was never filmed, but for short, which is where Amy and Rory's adopted son goes to meet Rory's dad. Which is really lovely. It's a lovely little short. It's a letter from Rory to his dad or something.
So what do we expect in the change from Moffat to Chibnall?
I don't know. I liked Moffat, and I do like a lot of Moffat's writing, but, yeah, it definitely got really, really stale. I'm not going to lie, the way Angus has been talking about the new showrunner, like the writer, didn't fill me with much hope, but this was a fantastic episode. Honestly, they've changed it up, and I'm back to really loving Who again, which is good.
I think Moffat brought a lot of magic to Doctor Who. There were lots of episodes in the series where the whole episode was almost like a magical experience, you know, sort of fairy tale experience.
Yes,
loved the fairy tale kind of experience. So.
Quality.
And yeah, Stephen Chibnall runs Broadchurch. I haven't seen Broadchurch.
Good. So it's based in this small town by the beach. I don't know the area very well, so I'm trying to think of where it was. A young boy is killed in a small town where everyone knows everyone. And so in my mind, I got told about how good it was, and I kind of went, it sounds a bit Midsummer Murders to me, you know, it seems a bit typical British murder mystery type show, like a Pyro or a Marvels or something. And it was really good. Really, really good. All of the actors on there absolutely stellar. The writing is incredible. It's just gripping. And I was saying to Gypsy earlier, I think I watched the third season in about 4 days, three or 4 days. I just knocked, it's, you have to kind of make time to watch it. So Whittaker in the role of the Doctor is extremely different to the role that she plays in Broadchurch, but she's a very capable actress. And I think that was what I was going in knowing, that the showrunner, if it's same guy as Broadchurch, completely endorsed Broadchurch. Whittaker is an extremely good actor. I did the same thing with Capaldi as well. It's like, I know the acting's there, hopefully. I've got faith that they can pull it off. And I think she did.
So we've just watched that first episode of season 11. What did people think after the first 10 minutes of watching it? What was the mood that you felt?
Well, the first thing I immediately saw was the fact that they didn't have the YouTube on full screen, which just drove my OCD through the roof.
He just lost it.
Yeah.
Oh, did you read the little link?
Yes.
I was tempted to click on them.
I wanted to lean over and go.
Given we all watch it on computer these days, you sort of think that, we've just watched it. We're watching it on YouTube.
Well, I did actually think at first that I was like, oh, really? We're watching it on YouTube today? That seems like a really strange way for us to be watching this.
So what do you think about the mood of the first 10 minutes in general, as it sort of built up?
I just think comparing it to, say, the first episode of Russell T Davies era, which was basically, it was a bit serious, but it was still thinking of his mood is pretty goofy, and the start of Moffat's time, it was basically starting to get darker, and this is just such a different mood. It's quite dark, especially because I was just realizing at one point they just switched to night, just like mad, just to make it a bit look better, even though it didn't really make sense in terms of the plot line. But it felt much darker, and I was thinking, is this supposed to be for kids? Or
yeah, it was certainly a hide behind the couch,
and it. I think you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said a lot of the Moffat stuff felt more magical and not whimsical, but a little bit less realistic, whereas this episode, it felt really grounded and earthy, and this was something happening in someone's backyard, and they really took it back to, not back to basics, but you could really relate to the character. So then when you did have a red shirt, so to speak, that had an untimely accident, I kind of felt a little bit more for him, not because they were a human versus an alien, but because it was felt really grounded, and it felt really, it felt real. It felt a lot realer.
It was nice to be able to, get the automatic, I like this person, and you kind of, I don't know about you guys, but I definitely grew a bond with some of the characters.
Yes!
And watching them go through their little things that they got to do. I don't know, it feels a lot more, easy to connect to, as you said, and it's kind of like the writer's gone, David Tennant's first episode, the Christmas special, it felt like they were touching on that a bit, but then with their own twists. So I feel like, in a way, they kind of, they're probably not even saying this, they just thought it'd be a cool idea, but in a way it kind of feels like, yes, it's still going to be like the good stuff that you guys remember, but
a new showrunner has to bring something new. There does have to be change. It does have to be shaken up every few years, and if it's not shaken up every few years,
it becomes stale.
So, actually reminded me a bit of Fringe. I don't know if anyone has seen Fringe.
Love Fringe,
But that vibe on the train had a very Fringe feel to it.
It was a bit of a horror scene.
Yes, it was.
So maybe some alternates and some,
coming up in this. I want to see Walter and Doctor Who. We had a thing on the forum at one stage saying we've got to get John Noble in Doctor Who.
John Noble being the Doctor.
Yes. Oh, that would be awesome.
So what do you think of Jodie Whittaker as the Doctor? Was she pretty good or?
Exceptional.
Definitely.
Yeah. I like her.
I think it really works.
She really captured the Doctor. She was the Doctor. And really, within about 10 minutes, I just went, she is the Doctor. She's got it. She's got the character.
A good portion of that did feel like the script writing as well. The script writing was very well done for the role. I don't
Chibnall has been a Doctor Who fan all his life. And so he knows the character really well. And yes, definitely. But she captured, I think, a quirkiness that is needed for the Doctor. You could believe she wasn't human. Came across.
Some of the things that she would say and the things that she would kind of, those little nuances that she would do, it was like, she's reading a script that was made for Capaldi. Like, you could see her transitioning with her mannerisms and with her with the way that she was written as well. It was very cleverly done.
And at the time, she seemed very Tennant. And it's interesting because she hasn't watched the recent Doctors because she didn't want to be influenced, but I really got a Tennant vibe.
Wow,
very strong Tennant vibe at times.
I really liked it. Like, she didn't seem like over the top like Matt.
Mm. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Wacky, yeah. Matt's my doctor. But she seriously just went back to like quirky and strange.
Yeah.
But
not completely over the top.
Smith was a little goofy sometimes for me. Yeah. I really welcomed the darkness after Smith because he kind of went a bit too much sometimes.
But then did they go too dark or?
No, I like the dark.
Yeah. I mean, it was very dark, like cinematographically, like it was very little lighting.
So are we going to be spending a lot of time behind the couch, do you think, with this series?
It depends on what kind of monsters they have. I mean, this character was brand new. It wasn't like, say, oh, hey, we're bringing the angels back, or we're bringing back a classic monster, or it's basically like, oh, hey, it's a brand new character of a brand new race, and therefore it was a mystery because it was such a new thing.
Which is good.
Yeah.
We need some new monsters.
And it's an interesting point that you make, because I always forget that this is a show that's made for, not so much children, but it's a family show. It's supposed to be one that you watch with the kids. I have a 4-year-old daughter who loves Doctor Who. I think she's Team Eccleston. She likes Eccleston and Rose the best.
Right.
Okay. But she couldn't watch most of the Capaldi episodes. They were too dark for her. But yeah, she loved a lot of the new ones. But she could watch Daleks and she could watch Cyberman and she could watch a lot of stuff. She loved the Unearthly Child with the gas mask.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how.
Scary.
I don't know how she's a little bit, I don't know how she could watch it because that freaked me out.
Yeah.
But it used to freak us out. Don't freak kids out there,
I don't know how she would go watching that.
It
had a much older feel to it. It said like Fringe, older sci-fi. So it'd be interesting when she sees it.
I wonder if they still do the Fear Factor, because back when Doctor Who first started coming out, they did an online Fear Factor thing for the kids, so you could look at how scary the episode
would
be. And I think Unearthly Child and probably Blink were like 4.7 out of 5 or something. They were the highest, most scary episodes.
You wouldn't watch Blink for years.
No, I legitimately didn't. I got partway through the episode when I first watched it and went, yep, okay, I'm done.
Wow.
And I was exactly the same with Silence in the Library.
Oh, wow,
I thought that was one of the scariest episodes because you can't really see what it is. And it was merciless.
Yeah.
It just killed them. So I found that really
scary. Who turned out the lights?
See, I have a completely different thought on that one because Blink is what got me into Doctor Who. That was the first one I ever watched, and that was a couple of years ago. And then The Silence in the Library. Go back and watch it now. I dare you. You will not be able to sit through it. I cried like a baby for a day.
Oh, yeah, because of what it gave to River.
Yes.
Yeah. Like mystery, and then suddenly...
I've tried to watch the River Doctor story both ways.
Watch it backwards,
And that's why I love the Husbands of River Song, because I love that scene. It starts out being really over the top and silly, but when she's saying, you know, he would not be standing beside me, and then she turns, and I love that. It's one of my
favourite scenes. Basically, from that point on, that...
The end, that is brilliant. Good. Just the two of them together. I think she and Kelvin were so good together.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm getting emotional.
I know.
Should we be talking about this episode, this Doctor, rather than reminiscing?
Yeah. So the assistants were really good, I thought. You know, as you're saying, they're fairly ordinary people and seem to work fairly well.
Mm.
It'll be interesting to see now that we've just watched the end of it. And, of course, they're cast adrift in space. What happens next?
Yeah.
That reminds me of the end in Second Doctor with Zoe and Jamie and the Doctor.
Oh,
but, of course, they're not really cast adrift. I think this time they are cast adrift.
Yeah.
I'd say the TARDIS is going to materialise around them in the next I guess.
What we've kind of just seen with the ending of this episode and the ending of the Christmas special, the most recent one, is two Shibnal endings, both of them. The first one, the TARDIS was exploding, the Doctor was falling out. Now they're all stuck adrift in space. I'm actually slightly concerned about this, that he's going to be going bam and the next thing happens, and then bam, the next thing happens.
Cliffhanger ending.
But very kind of unnecessary, maybe even forced to a degree, cliffhanger.
But then again, Doctor Who's famous for the slightly forced cliffhangers, isn't it?
Oh, so
It is.
Better than that than having the plot lines be cliffhangery and like what's happening next, is trying to solve the mystery and have it not resolved, like in Moffat's era.
I kind of agree with that, but they still, when they end a knock in Old Who, it was very much the end, and you didn't have your like, each okay, I'll stop the next. Yeah, each episode was a knock, but in this they seem to be tying them together purely by the fact of going, oh, and we leave them on a cliffhanger for no reason.
I think that was fine for the first episode. We'll see how
thing, if it continues to happen in that same...
I think there will be a lot of development. There's obviously, Ryan's got a lot of character development, I'd say, to happen. Yes. And his relationship with his step-granddad is going to be an ongoing plot line.
Yeah.
So I think through the companions there will be development. Yeah.
He's another good actor too, and I can't think of his name, but the guy who plays Graham, the step-grandfather, he's known here for being on the English version of The Chase, and he is hilarious in that, but I first watched him on Law & Order UK, and he was really good on that. And he took, you know, basically a British knockoff of the Law & Order show, but he really put a lot of depth into his character. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping to see more of that as we go through.
I think Chibnall's done something interesting here, too. He actually, for almost the first time, really lost an assistant.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So we can't be sure that the assistants are going to survive in the following episodes, can we?
As far as I'm concerned, the assistant actually died that episode. And there is no more who needed anymore, because once Nana was gone, I'm done. No, she was like the perfect candidate. She would have been the perfect sassy assistant. Like, excuse me, what? Are you going to let that happen? Yeah. And then together they could just...
Yeah, I thought so.
I think it would have been fantastic.
Yes, it would.
I'm surprised.
You can kind of see who they're going to pick and maybe why, but I feel like it would have just been a lot more fun with an older assistant. Yes. Yeah. That wasn't going to end up falling in love with her.
There was so much potential there,
and I kind of feel like it was lost.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. Oh, well, I guess we'll find out.
Mm.
So I think we'll stop there, and thank you very much for watching a great episode, and we'll see you again next week with our normal scheduled episode of I Don't Know What. We'll find out.
Bye. Back to the fish fingers and custard.
We actually do have fish fingers and custard here. We had them watching it.
Yep. Chips, jemmy dodgers.
Jelly babies.
Jelly babies. We've got the lot. Oh, goodbye. Okay,
bye. Bye.